Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 121, being recorded on the 31st of March, 2016. A special edition live from Build 2016. I'm Sujit, and on Skype with me, I have Kale, and hopefully Evan will join us shortly. He's running a little late, but Kale's the man of the hour here. He's at Build in San Francisco, and we've got a lot of new updates today on Azure that we'd like to talk about. Kale, before we get there, let's do a little bit of a recap from the last episode regarding blockchains. We were fortunate enough to have some feedback from some of our listeners on that. And can you give us an update on that, please?
Yeah, definitely. So it was good to hear from people about their interest in blockchain and this technology we're working with, because it's super exciting and super new. So some of the things was, though, after our last talk, we had some comments back about, you know, maybe not understanding a little bit, maybe we didn't hit hard enough about what really are we buying here, right? Because when we talk about blockchains, sounds like there's a lot of stuff that we have to build around this, maybe infrastructure as well as some programming. And what are we really buying? And maybe we didn't hit that hard enough last time, but the thing to think about there is the inherent value of blockchain is to be able to have a secure, immutable history of transactions. From a core, just think about that aspect. Yeah, I mean, we had message bus technology for many years that we've used, and we still use today. But really, the thing that blockchain is bringing to the table is we can digitally sign things that we're going to put up there, and they can't be tampered with. So mathematically, they can't be messed with because it's a hash value that's digitally signed. So if someone were to manipulate a piece of the blockchain, it would break the chain, and it wouldn't be allowed. So we can't. It just, the whole system is built around the fact that we don't do that. So from that key point for industries where there's intensive audit or compliance type regulations, this is really where this technology hits home good. It's not a technology to use for everything, right? If we're spinning up just a small application, maybe it doesn't 100% make sense to start with a blockchain. But I would recommend people like kind of learn about it a little bit, because this is a data technology that's pretty widely used, it's proven, and so it's something that's you should definitely have in your back pocket as you're going forward and architecting apps. Some of the other things were around, you know, we made some points about the music industry and some of the things that like Uju Music can do and some of these other things that are evolving on the blockchain. And you know, the question was, well, you know, maybe the providers can provide those transactions back, you know, just as fast. I'm not sure about that exactly, as far as like, I can't comment on like how everybody gets paid for music on the internet, something like iTunes or Pandora or these type of things. But I can tell you from the blockchain perspective that we can do those very fast as well. And I'm talking seconds. And the other key point to remember is the artist is in control of that smart contract. So the smart contract defining how the payout is going to get laid out. So the artist gets X percentage, somebody else gets X percentage for doing something. So that whole chain of like what happens inside of there, sorry to use the word chain, but the whole contract of like how those payments get cut up is defined by the artist. It's not something we have to go to a provider to actually do.
That was some nice feedback that we received, and thanks for clarifying that. I think it's clearly that's a topic that's, I think there's a little bit of confusion around the whole blockchain thing, but I think what you made clear is that it's very, very important, very a very future forward looking technology that a lot of people don't understand, but clearly there's a lot of value in it.
Yeah, just to kind of drive the point home, couldn't talk about it last time because we had embargoes and things in place, but so we just announced while we were built here that we've been partnered and working with some Visual Studio integration. And so we'll put a link in the link dump. But we built a extension for Visual Studio to facilitate the building, compilation, and deployment of smart contracts. So you can go out and check that out. We'll put the link out there. It's really a kind of beta release. We're just trying to get something out there to start that process of, like, how can we facilitate and make that experience better? So people, when they're building smart contracts, kind of lower the bar there a little bit. It's you know, pretty basic technology when you break it down in each individual form, but to put all those pieces together and come in seconds, be able to deploy a smart contract and see it actually function is pretty powerful.
Yeah, I agree. That's something that we'll have to keep an eye on, and hopefully have a follow-up episode on that when, you know, when your the current engagements that you're working on become publicly available. That'd be great. So today was the Azure day, I think, right? At Build, more or less. Scott got restarted the day, and there was a lot of cool things that he brought out. Is anyone any? I know there's a whole lot to discuss, but what's your favorite one so far?
I'd say the biggest one for me, and it's not really like a big change, but is the Service Fabric being GA.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's one that's close to you, Sajid, and me as well.
Yeah, I think that's something that we're all looking forward to, and I'm glad it's finally happened, now that it's GA. Now, just to be clear, this is the Azure Service Fabric is GA. I think that the Windows, the on-premises version of it is still, I'm not sure that didn't include that, right? I think that's still not yet GA. So this is the cloud component of it, the cloud version of it, I should say. So yeah, definitely that's something we can all look forward to. You know, what I really liked is this new thing called Azure Functions, which is a very cool idea. I don't know if you caught that update. It's not something that I was aware that was coming down or that, you know, people were working on. Maybe you or Evan were aware of this. But what it is they call it a serverless model. Okay, today when we provision any PaaS or IaaS cloud services, we think of, okay, we need some compute in the cloud. We need some storage, blah, 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 right? And we kind of provision that. And with the Azure Functions thing, it's an event-driven system. So what they're saying is, you tell me what endpoint and you tell me the code, and that's all I need to know. We'll connect the endpoint to the code and make everything work in whatever scale you want to. So we're not thinking in terms of servers. We're thinking in terms of, this is my functionality and I want it to be triggered when something happens, and that something could be, you know, a particular endpoint being hit or some timer or whatever may be the case. But there's no concept of servers. It's essentially you just write the code and provide the trigger, and everything is taken care of by this Azure Functions service. I think it's a very different way of thinking about cloud, but the cloud development. And I think more and more we're going to see that kind of stuff, you know, where we're not thinking about servers or services and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the more you can get to I guess you could call it a PaaS, like a PaaS more type offering, where you don't have to manage the infrastructure. I mean, that's what everybody's driving towards, even if it's a Docker and the containers and these things. But when you get to these models, it's pretty amazing that we can kind of pull that off without thinking about a server.
Yeah, and this is, I would think of it one step even more abstract than PaaS, right? I mean, we all know we started off with IaaS and we moved to PaaS. I think this is kind of goes beyond that, because you're not even thinking of terms of deployment at all. Right, there's nothing to deploy. It's just, this is my artifact. This is the code that I want executed, and I want it executed under these circumstances, and that's all. Nowhere did you say I needed, you know, so many servers, or this has to be a service, or this has to be this and that. Everything else is handled automatically. It's basically pay per execution. So every execution of your code, you pay for it. That's what it's all come down to. It's like the transaction. That's a transaction. You pay per transaction, not. You're not paying for running the thing for 1 hour or running your, you know, whatever, so much storage. That's not what you pay for. You pay per transaction.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yes. Okay. And so what else? So that was something that caught my eye, and that's kind of new. But, boy, there's so much stuff in here. I don't know where to start.
I have one that's kind of small that is just nice to have. I call it kind of like icing on the cake, but it's not small by means of implementation, but maybe when you see it, you say, well, that's cool, but it's just pretty important. The default support in ARM templates. This is something that we didn't have before, so if you're using ARM templates, which you probably should be, that's where the future and things being built inside of Azure, and being able to leverage this now to deal with, create our secrets that are going to be in there, put these things into Vault, be able to configure these things all through an ARM template that's versioned, is pretty powerful. Kind of a small thing, but it's kind of important when you need it.
So, clearly, at least for me, you cut off over there for just a second. You said what can you configure through ARM Templates now?
There's a couple things in this release that's going to be out there. So it's in the 2.9 SDK as well. So there's some of those templates, like inside of our Azure SDK, when you install it in Visual Studio, you have the templates in there. We now can make can provide references to key vaults and that kind of thing, so it makes it easier to build them. But inside of it, you can actually do like the creation of your key vault secrets that you want in a deployment. You can put your secrets into Vault from this, again, from the template. You can do things like set properties, and there's a bunch of different things that we can do in this release, but it's important to realize that we can now kind of automate the key vault features through ARM templates and with the new SDK also in Visual Studio.
Got it. And then I guess the topic that I know is near and dear to you is scale sets of virtual machines, and that finally went GA, or I guess generally available as of today, and that allows us to scale up VMs automatically, right? It provides an auto scale facility for virtual machines running on Windows and Linux, and so.
Yeah, I think the thing there that if people haven't heard of them before, I think we've talked about them on the show, but I can't remember. But from scale side perspective, they're really a key piece to not just being able to say, hey, I have this cluster that maybe, let's say it's a web cluster. Certainly they can be used to scale those very easily, as opposed to what we did in the past with autoscale with IaaS, where we had to basically pre-provision VMs, and then it was an orchestration of starting and stopping VMs to basically scale them up. This is truly, actually, scaling. Like actually the machine's not there and it creates it. And the power of like things like ARM templates have enabled this kind of technology. But when you think about the higher level stuff that we talk about all the time, the higher level features we have like Service Fabric and these kind of things, even some of the Docker stuff, when you start talking about containers, they ultimately are going to be run inside of a VM. But they don't necessarily need to know too much about that VM, right? That's kind of the point. And when you can start to build clusters, and then you have features like VMSS, where you can, underneath at the infrastructure level, say, you know what? There's too much pressure on this cluster right now. Let's go ahead and increase the VMs, and then have something like Service Fabric to, balance that load across. Say, oh, I got new servers. I can go ahead and put some containers over there and lighten the load. Awesome.
I agree. And hey, how about that news with the Xamarin being bundled with Visual Studio? I think that was, I guess some people expected that, but it's good to hear that they've done that. So at least, because that was always a stumbling block, right? Using Xamarin, just the cost of entry was sometimes too high. And now they're even going to have like a starter edition available with almost like a free starter edition with the community edition of Visual Studio. So that's something that a lot of people, including myself, are looking forward to.
Yeah, huge. I mean, the free SKU being available in community, wow, that's amazing.
That's just yes. And then how about this IoT starter kit? So that's includes a Raspberry Pi 3. Is that what it is? Does it include one of those?
I hadn't seen that news, so I don't know if I
There
saw
are.
the news about the how they configured it. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I thought I caught that. That now there's this new, I guess they call it the IoT Starter Kit, but I think they did it before. They had something with Raspberry Pi 2 at the time where they would, I guess they would create a low-cost bundle with it, and now I think they're doing something with Raspberry Pi 3 and the Windows 10 IoT Core and Azure. So that's something. But so what I heard about the there was a lot of buzz about IoT today and how successful it's been on Azure. So they're processing in a week 2 trillion IoT messages per week. I mean, just think about that. Okay, that's the amount of devices that are connected and are sending in these messages, 2 trillion per week. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I think the other one that I just mentioned there in passing a little bit was the Visual Studio tools got revved. So the Azure tools and the SDK is now at 2.9. So people should take a look at that. There's a bunch of different things in it. As usual, it's packed full of goodness. The first would be like, this actually supports some of the preview versions of Visual Studio. So the next version of that. There's some stuff in there for Service Profiler, some more diagnostics, the Key Vault stuff I mentioned, some more tools for the Docker that's in preview form, some more Service Fabric tools, a Data Lake, and Resource Manager tools. So there's tons of things inside of there. You should take a look at it.
Was good, yeah. And I think they've also put a new version of Storage Explorer, right? That's being updated. That's the new version of it. Not like they've redone it with the Atom. Is that what they call it? The Atom framework, the Electron framework. Sorry. So this new version of Storage Explorer come out now. But on the growth of Azure, another thing they announced is that Azure is growing at a much higher pace than it used to. It used to be growing at a pace of about 100,000 new customers per month. It's now moved up to 120,000 new customers every month. I mean, how do they manage to keep up with that 120,000 customers a month? Can you imagine the amount of resources they have to provision, like literally every day, to make this happen? That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's incredibly complex, as you can imagine, to kind of maintain that kind of pace and be able to kind of predict what people are going to need from capacity plan standpoint. It's amazing. I think one thing too that just came out that I thought was really cool was some new, and it's a preview for the storage service in Azure for encryption for data at rest. So basically, what this is a server-side version of encryption. So if people have been following along, we're talking about blob storage here, obviously. So in blob storage, at first we had no encryption, which basically meant the platform wasn't providing it. You could encrypt the bits and go ahead and update your code so that it would automatically encrypt your data, and then pass that up to Azure, and we'll store the encrypted bits, no problem. And then we took a step and said, let's do client-side encryption, which was great because the customer still holds the keys, so they could hold the keys. Again, the idea there was that the SDK could kind of take away that code that you might have to write to do that and make it easier. So you just feed in your keys. It will take care of when you do writes and reads to basically handle that encryption decryption. But if you looked at things like SQL Server, we had TDE for quite a while, transparent data encryption, which basically was server side. And in that case, Microsoft and Azure was handling the encryption for you to make sure that that data was encrypted at rest. And this has been a big demand to be able to say, I don't want to manage any of that stuff. I would rather Azure manage that for me. And that's what this preview service is about.
Wow, the hits keep coming. How about this update on Splunk? I don't know if you saw this. Have you ever used Splunk?
I have. It's a very big management logging framework that a lot of customers use.
Yeah. Well, basically it scans, right? It scans a whole bunch of log files, event logs, and whatnot, and gives you like this big data query capability. So, you just ask for a particular, I don't know, put an IP address or any particular query, anything really, and it will just immediately, almost instantaneously, it seems to be able to go out to all these trillions of log files and pull just the right entries for you. It's pretty amazing, actually. So they actually have this now in the Azure marketplace. So if you want to use it within your Azure services, you can spin up an Ubuntu instance that has the Splunk software pre-configured, and you can get going right away. So I'm glad they're doing that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think one thing there to call out, like I think the post we have there shows that you can basically go up into Marketplace and kind of deploy this thing.
Right.
But there's kind of a hidden thing inside of here that if anybody's worked with Splunk, you would have run into this, and I have. So Splunk, like you said, Sajid, it does a really good job of having tons, mountains of data and being able to basically query through that very well. So it does indexing and searching and those kind of things really well, as well as collection, right? So it had agents, and when it first started, it was basically agent-based. So there would be an agent, and it would call forwarders, and they would forward to a box that would be an indexer, and then you could have search heads that run across those indexers. But the interesting thing about that is with IaaS or on-premises, great, works fine, right? Because you can install an agent, you can basically script that out so it's part of your deployment. But, you know, when PaaS come along and websites and things like that, you're like, oh, no, now what? Like, you know, I can't install an agent. Mm-hmm. And so in the past, there was actually a community project to basically allow us to have Azure. So it kind of worked hand in hand with what Azure did. So Azure said, you know, with the websites, we're not just going to put your stuff locally. Like, you can enable logs that will just go local on your website, which have a upper limit, and they just get overwritten at that rolling interval. Or you could say, I know, dump my stuff into a storage account. So you could just have your logs be poured in, and it's just a feature you turn on in your, like, your web app, for instance.
Uh-huh.
And that's great, because now it's sitting out in blob storage. But then how do we get it out of blob storage
right.
back into there? And so there was a community add-on for a while to do that, and I've actually used that before, so that you could basically have your indexer or server box there pulling that storage account at an interval so that it could grab those logs, get them back. And this piece has some of that baked in, from what I understand. So now that's a feature that's inside Splunk, so it's much easier for you to enable that on these different type of workloads where we have the logs in blob storage, for instance.
That's a very nice tip. Good point. I've completely forgotten about that, Cale. And then just kind of, I guess, to round off all the new updates, this one caught my eye, the MPAA compliance certification. I don't know if you saw this. This was actually from yesterday, day one of the build. So the Motion Picture Association of America, they certified Azure as being a safe place where producers and directors can store their movies without worrying about somebody stealing a movie that's not yet been released. For example, if they're on set and they're taking a lot of cuts of films, and then finally they put it all together, all those clips are stored in the cloud. And in the past, they're worried about people being able to steal them or copy them out before the movie's release, and now they've passed all the certifications of being able to store that in Azure without having that concern. So I think it's a new front for Azure for sure, where they can store movie related stuff.
Yeah, one other thing, Saji, you had mentioned the I wanted to go back on this, the Storage Explorer preview. I'm still catching up on a lot of these things, but that Storage Explorer, so that's the cross-platform one, which is really cool, right? It runs on
right.
Mac and Windows and all that.
That's based on the Electron framework, yeah.
This is huge. Table support. This is big time. Like, I had not seen this before. That was, like, a big thing before, because you couldn't view tables in the old one. And so if you were on a Mac or a Linux-type box and you wanted to use this tool, this nice GUI tool to do that, you couldn't.
Correct.
This is right.
Only the Windows one could look at the tables. You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. I forgot. I didn't notice that. Good point. All right. So, we have really talked about a lot of updates today. We'll put all of this stuff in the show notes as much as we can. And is there anything else, Cale? What's the buzz over there? I know you're on site at the where is it? At the Moscone Center, right?
Yeah, here in San Francisco. I've been spending most of my time in the Partner Expo, so this is, a lot of partners come to this build event. It's kind of centered around that. And so just seeing where people have evolved to, I think it's, we talk about this a lot, but seeing the kind of people, the booths that are here is pretty telling of what's happening, right? So Red Hat, DataStax, Cloudera, Hortonworks, all the open source are right there front and center, not to mention the stuff with blockchain and consensus and, our first party stuff as well. So the Office team, Azure obviously has a huge presence, but HoloLens, I mean, the list just goes on and on. I mean, it's just super exciting to see how things are evolving and how quickly, things are happening in the cloud as well as, across the board, Cortana. I mean, we didn't even talk about that, but, all the new stuff that's happening there, I think we've got a backlog here that's going to take us a few weeks to dig out of with our podcast, but we'll try to hit the most important ones that we've seen here and keep whittling that down.
That's true. Thanks for all the hot off the press updates there, Kale. Okay, then I think we'll wrap it up here today, and I guess we'll reconvene next week then, Kale. Thanks a lot, and safe travels back to the East Coast for you.
Thanks, Ajit.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.